For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As good servants do. So share with us, you know, when people go to the polls, why should they vote for Willie Jones, Sheriff, Broward County?
The reason they're going to vote for me is because the status quo has not brought us any change. The current administration has been in place for 4 years, and nothing has changed. When we talk about diversity, we're still looking at the same numbers of 1980. Mm. When we talk about crime, we still talk about incidents that take place. We had two questionable shootings of unarmed black men. You have a Vipers unit that's currently under investigation for entrapping black men. These are signs and trappings that came from the 20th century. Nothing has changed. We can sit here, and as we were talking off air, if we don't speak up, if our voice is not heard, silence gives consent. Mm-hmm. They're talking about 70,000 people they're expecting to show up in this primary. And more than half of that is not African Americans. They have dismissed the community. They're not counting on those votes to show up. So with that being said, our community must show up.
And show out.
And show out. And what I say to people when I'm out here on the trail, vote. I prefer you to vote for Willie Jones, but vote. Because when they count the roll, when they look back and see who voted, then they know what communities they have to serve, they have to answer to. But if you don't show up at the polls,
right,
you're dismissed.
Right. If you don't show up, you just don't count. James, we're going to take your call, and we're going to take a quick break on James in North Miami.
Hello. Hello. How you doing?
Good, James. How are you?
I want to say something quickly to Mr. Jones. I think he's a qualified candidate. I'm listening to him talk. He's dead on point with the old stuff that they're doing. He was already ready from the beginning to go against black people. We need to change that. He's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he's doing good on that.
Okay.
Ms. Watson, I just got one of your brochures today. I was in Miami Garden.
Yes, sir.
Senator Watson. State Representative Watson?
Yes, yes. That's correct.
And I did a profile on her. Now, I want to say this right here. And she brought up a point about how they're doing in Tallahassee. See, Mr. Jones had the same problem. See, he's still fighting it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you got to learn, Ms. Watson, to let God fight your battle. Okay? I have to admit, hello, am I still on there?
Mr. James, I think you would learn that I'm one of the strongest fighters in Tallahassee, coming out of the African-American Black Caucus. I've done something in what most Democrats have not done since 1987, and that is to pass a responsible gun ownership bill. No Democrats are doing that. I fight extremely and exceptionally hard for my people because I know at all times it does make a difference. I run away from no fight. And in addition to that, I have produced bills in Tallahassee that has to do with oversight for individuals who have been shot by police officers and I'm unarmed, to bring in an oversight committee to make sure that there is some independent looking at those kind of incidents that are occurring in our community. Don't shy away from anything, sir. I'm very bullish.
All right.
Here's my point I want to bring to Mr. Watson.
Quickly.
Mr.
Watson. We got to go.
Quickly. Now, all I want to do in my lifetime, I learned to do this. When people compliment me, I take it and I move quick. When people have what I call constructive criticism of me, I like, listen, I got one, you doing one thing that I think you should change there, Watson. It'll help tremendously. It'll put God more, it'll put you more in contact with God. You know what that is?
What's that, sir?
I think you should take your hair and make it exactly like God told the black people to wear. See, the black woman got so much power, but she let the people take it away from her. We God gave black people that.
James, we thought you were going to get out tonight without going there. James, love you, mean it. Love you mean it. James has this thing about us and our hair, and that it is they put transmitters and weaves. Girl, we love James. But he got a thing about us and our hair.
Well, James, I'm going to learn how to love you.
Okay.
James, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much. And I want to thank you so much for coming by. The August 30th, people, get out and vote. Make it happen. If people want to get more, early voting starts tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, I got mine in the mail already. I'm good. I've done every, there's a couple, the commissioner race. I'm in Broward, so I still have to look at that because I'm not quite sure on that one. But if people want to get in touch with you, find out more information, support you, bring you a check, be at the polls for you, where can they reach out?
Well, to reach out to me, you can go to Barbara Watson, District 107 at yahoo.com. This is a direct link into our through the internet. And in addition to that, you can reach me at area code 305-654-0057.
Awesome.
And to reach me at my website, www.willyjones2016.com, or campaign phone number 954-907-4571. And I answer all of my social media. I don't have a surrogate.
Good for you. You have a nice website, too. I was on your site yesterday. I was like, Willie.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll see you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. And we're going to take a quick break. Coming up after the break, Chef Irene is on the fire. Valencia Gunder is here, our community activist, along with Desmond Reed. Let our people vote. And I need to know about these 147,000 petitions just sitting in the mayor's office. We'll talk about it. Stay tuned. I am Jill Tracy. This is Hot Talk. Hot
105. Hot 105, today's R&B and old school, presents the second annual Hot 105 R&B Groove, featuring Tank.
You don't know.
Plus, Frankie Beverly Hayes, Jaheim, and Elda Barge on Saturday, October 15th at the Bank United Center on the campus of the beautiful University of Miami. Tickets are on sale now and selling fast at the Bank United Center box office or on hot105fm.com. And you know Hot 105 has got the most free tickets. Lock it on 105.1 all day to win them. And all winners qualify to win 4 front row tickets with backstage passes to meet the artists and take pictures, $500 to go shopping. And the best part of all, we're taking you up on stage to get serenaded by one of the performing artists.
What?
Now, that's the grand prize. For more chances to win, download our free Hot 105 app by texting 28367 with the keyword Hot 105 app. The second annual Hot 105 R&B Groove is brought to you by G-Squared Events and your station for today's R&B and old school. Hot 105.
If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the ad council, and this station.
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I was on the way from Kandahar to Klot. Hit an IED that just took the truck and threw it up in the air and slammed it on the ground. I knew at first that I got hurt pretty bad because I couldn't move my legs. I sat home alone for months, and I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. I was hesitant at first, you know, because I didn't work for a good year. I want to be a productive person. I don't want to be a drain on society. I want to be a positive thing in society. PBA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Helping veterans like Eric is what we've done for over 65 years. Paralyzed Veterans of America, paving access for veterans' employment through Operation PAVE. For more information, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
My precious baby is talking?
And there's a word I wanted to talk to you about, beginning with your driving.
My baby is talking in complete sentences?
You waste so much gas with your left foot and your jet weapon starts, I could toss my cookies.
My little boy is backseat driving.
And he's up on the highway, too. Every 10 miles, over 60 miles per hour is like paying 40 cents more a gallon. That's like about 400 balloons for me.
You can count to 400?
401. And your tires? If you keep them properly inflated, you could save even more.
Oh, wait till I tell Daddy.
Dad, he's costing us big time, too, with all that junk in his trunk. How's he gonna pay for my college, my braces, my tattoo?
Don't cry. I'll drive smarter.
That's not the problem. I got junk in my trunk.
Get hundreds of dollars worth of money-saving gas tips and help the environment at the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Can that announcer do change me, please?
To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to Hot Talk. Never miss an episode of Hot Talk with the Hot 105 app. You can download now for Android and iPhone. Coming up next week, it's my candidate open mic night. So if you are running for office and you serve our constituency, we would love to have you in the studio to give us the 411 on why you're running and how you're going to help make our lives better in South Florida. You can hit me up at Jill at Hot 105. Jill at Hot105FM.com with your info, and we will reach out. I answer all of mine, too. 888-550-9105. I answer. Okay, I don't answer phone. Chef Irie is in the house, in the building.
Oh, man.
Desmond Reed, my man from Rock the Vote. Let my people's vote. It is rocking the vote.
We rocking, too.
Okay, let my people vote. Valencia Gunder.
Hi.
What's happening, babe?
What's going on?
How are you?
Good.
Always here, community activist. And who have you brought with you tonight?
Mr. Guihan Pereira from New Florida Majority.
Say hey.
Hey, Jill. Good to see you.
Good to see you. So listen. Okay, so Valencia and I were chatting about what is going on. So you have to give me the 411. On what is happening right now with New Florida. And we have a dilemma of some ballots that have not been, or some petitions that have not been counted. What's happening?
Jill, there's 127,000 petitions for Miami-Dade voters, each one notarized, sitting right now in the back of the supervisor of elections office, not being counted. They're supposed to be counted to go on the ballot this November, and what they would do is they would fundamentally change the way that elections are done in Miami-Dade. It would ban developers from giving to politicians. It would limit the number of the amount of contributions, and it would mean that grassroots people would get their donations between $5 and $100 if you give.
Mm-hmm.
It would get matched 6-1. So it would make regular people's dollars count 6-1. If you or Miss Ernie May, and you gave a $100 contribution,
right,
that would be a $600 contribution. And it would be more than they could get from a business or from a developer.
Okay, how would that... Okay, let me just back up. How would that happen?
It would happen because this initiative, which mm-hmm. they're not counting now and therefore
right.
not putting on the ballot,
right.
this initiative would change the election law in Miami-Dade County. It would change that election loss to, mm-hmm. to do all of those things. It would limit the contributions. It would ban developers and people doing business over $250,000 from being able to give. And it would create a public fund through which every small dollar contribution would be matched 6-1.
Interesting. Okay, so but where is that money coming from to match it 6-1?
So that money, the county would contribute that money up to a certain
limit.
Oh,
okay, there right? you go. Ding,
right.
ding, ding.
Yes.
I knew there was...
Yes, it would come from the county,
mm-hmm.
and the county would allocate that dollars, which would fundamentally change
right, completely.
Who and where politicians are accountable to.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So and they're not counting it right now. There's
right. I was going to say, now I know why they're not counting it.
Now you know. Right. Okay. But now you, right. And so they're sitting right there. And right now we're demanding that the mayor take action because the commission's on recess and they didn't vote on it. The mayor take action and count, demand that the supervisor of election count these petitions.
And so he, but the mayor's not answering the call right now.
Yeah,
the
mayor's
he's not returning phone calls right
now.
Yeah,
he's going to get a lot of calls. And so we're asking people to call him, to text him, to sign on. And there's going to be legal action forthcoming. But it's really time to rattle the fences on this because you can't have the people who you're trying to, I mean, this is a citizen's petition. The point is, you got, you know, you don't want to have to count on the fox that's guarding the chicken coop to have to be the ones that say it could get voted on by the people.
Well, it sounds like what we were just talking about with State Rep Watson and with Willie Jones. I mean, it's the same thing everywhere. So, okay, so what is outside of, so the only thing that would get some heat under the, some flames under the supervisor of elections to have these counted would be
direct. I mean, there's two. There's going to be a legal challenge that's going to come very soon, right?
But will then, it come soon enough to get it on the November ballot?
There should be legal action as of tomorrow or the next day.
Okay, very
right?
good.
And so then a judge will have to act fast on that. But then the biggest thing is people in Miami-Dade have to start taking action and telling their commissioners and the mayor in particular, act on this because the people want to vote on it in November.
Well, and that's what I was trying to get to. And, you know, because a lot of times we just nefariously say, go vote. And it's like, okay, but what?
Right.
How do I, like, really fit into that? So with this, you know, you making that call to your congressman or a senator or state rep or commissioner or whatever, saying, listen, this needs to happen. 27,000 people have said we think there needs to be reform. We want to level the playing field so that everybody has a chance to run, speak their piece, and, you know, and govern, just like what we're looking at.
That's right.
Anytime you would consider giving Donald Trump the keys to the White House.
That's right.
Okay.
Can I say one thing? What was amazing? We had a forum on this that Valencia helped moderate about black political contribution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's this national organization called Demos, and Desmond is a democracy fellow with Demos, and they did a report that showed that black people are 20% of Miami-Dade's population.
Right.
But they only give 2%. Of the actual political contributions to mayor's thing. So we always look at voting as one side of the equation, go out and vote. The other side of the equation is who's actually paying for the candidates to run.
Right. Well, right? I just asked Barbara that.
That's right. And if we can't invest and be equally invested in how much dollars are going into candidates to fund them, then we're not actually setting the choices.
Right.
So this would do that. And we're saying that, you know, we've got to run Miami. We got to be able to run Broward. We have to govern, not just participate.
Right. And it's not just by blocking off traffic. That's not how you do it.
Right. And if people want to get involved, we had young people, you know, when we did this forum, it was amazing. 25%, 25 of like the 60 people that were there, young people stood up and said, if the playing field was leveled, they'd want to run. You know, when you think people apathetic and everything else, but people actually want to do
that. Well,
right?
And I think that's why it's a lot of people like on the sidelines. It's like there's just no real point of entry where I'm going to be able to make, you know, an impact. Betty in Fort Lauderdale, hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Hello, God bless. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All is well in the name of Jesus. I just called. I didn't want to go on the air. But I just called.
And here you are.
You passed the gun bill. If you can get prayer back in school and get the government to untie the parents' hands so we can discipline our kids and not just run out and take the kids out of the home, I feel as though they took the prayer out so the kids could go wild and then tied our hands so they could kill off each other.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, we'll discuss that. Thank you for your call, Betty. Thoughts? Okay. I'm going to give that to you, Ira.
Prayer in school. I think, you know, it's a significant loss if in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody's beating everybody up about religion and, you know, God and everything like that. But there has been a vast difference in how we handle difficulties here in this country. Now that there's the absence of God in a lot of things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, it needs to be a little bit more prevalent and...
it has not been a good thing since it's been gone. It really has.
We've seen the decline, and you know, in things that are happening to our kids, and just the small things that are happening, and you know, people are taking you know umbrage, and they are
ending people's lives behind things.
You know, stuff like that. But I think you know that's something that really needs to come back. Just like kids need to be you know. Playing in schools, they need to be playing instruments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole education, you know, thing for kids, you know, more funding needs to be going towards education and for projects and for things that kids.
You know, when you mention that, I remember being in the 4-H club,
mm-hmm.
and we had cooking classes.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still have that in schools?
There's not a lot of schools that offer cooking programs or even home ec. Period. And I think, once again, funding,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think if we're able to get most of these funding for projects, not just in school, but even after school projects,
right.
after school, you know, institutions for kids to go and actually participate,
right.
it'd be a great thing. But, you know, cooking in class, in school, I think you will start seeing, you know, a lot more kids, you know, really trying to gravitate to something that they find out that they're good at.
Good at, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, and I ask that because there are a lot of programs that were in schools when I was in school, you know, so that you had a wide range, you could really see a wide range of things you could do. As a young person. Now, it's just not like that. There are not as many tracks that we are aiming our children towards, which is why we're losing so many of them to the streets. I wanted to ask you if you feel like the idea, what you're discussing, feels to me like the energy that Bernie Sanders was able to create around the country. And do you think that African Americans were not a large part of that? It was millennials, mm-hmm. it was young people. Do you think that how would we pitch that to our communities? Because I think that if there was a groundswell of support behind it, you know, like when we, you know, rallied Obama to office, then people could get behind it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well,
like, how could I make a difference with $27?
Right. I mean,
you know?
One is if your $27 was times six,
right?
Mm-hmm. But the second thing is, and you know, I'll turn it over to V and to Desmond too, is we have to make it practical for people, right? It's not just this abstract thing about money and politics,
right?
I mean, people make it real because if you look at all the gentrification that's coming,
mm-hmm.
right? That gentrification is coming because those developers have influence over the people we elect.
Yep.
And unless we can change that, right, and we can actually have the direct influence over our elected officials, right? Then it doesn't matter. We could vote for anybody we want,
right?
If they're already in pockets or you know paid by the piper, and we're not the ones that's paying them,
yeah,
right? We could choose all we want to, and then people who are saying, well, it doesn't matter, become justified, right? We have to say it matters because we actually are going to be the ones that are investing in our own
mm-hmm.
candidates, right?
Yeah,
for things like housing, like healthcare.
And
like
you,
things in the schools.
Exactly. And if you don't think that's important, you should have seen Michael Putney today with Jimenez and Rigolato.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, going at it in the paint. Let's see what you were going to say.
I think people are underestimating the African-American community when it comes to this issue.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they want to participate more. They want to be more involved, but sometimes they feel intimidated too. And I think this this opportunity to change that
yeah.
feeling will like actually get people more engaged and, you know, more wanting to be a part of it. And I strongly believe if they start to see that it's actually working in the favor of the people who may not have the millions, they'll want to do more. So, like, that 2% will probably change to maybe 10%, right? Mm-hmm. When, you know, you don't have to have $2,000 to put up. You can just put your $200 up, and it's just as effective as the $2,000. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why should we, as black people, feel intimidated when it comes to politics? Why?
This is America, sir.
Yeah, I understand that. I know that. But why should we? I mean, why should we have to have our voices be silent or feel like it's silent? We should, you know, and I know there's always repercussions, but we shouldn't feel intimidated. You know, we should be, you know, out there in the forefront, you know, let our voices be heard all the time, not some of the time, not just on some issues, on certain issues, but on everything. You
so,
know,
so I mean, so I think we all agree.
Yeah, pull the mic over to Desmond.
I think we do all agree on that mm-hmm. we should not be intimidated. But the reality is that, and it's not just black people. I think we kind of have things a little twisted, and we give elected officials a little bit more a clout or power than they really supposed to have. See, at the end of the day, there are the employees, and we are the employer. But we treat them as if they're the boss and we're the minions.
Right.
So when you have that, it's very easy to be in awe of an elected official when they either come in the community, or you go into their office and you see all of the nice furniture, and they dress in nice, and they got the pins and everything, and they have the secretaries. And you think you're walking into the big house to meet the big man.
Okay, Desmond said he got the pins.
Yeah, I mean, but the reality is you're actually the boss going to see your employee, right. But they don't treat you that way, and we don't treat them that way.
And because of this very reason, if you had, no matter what it is, but if you, like, there are certain, you know, allowances I have with my landlord because my check is on time every month. You know what I'm saying? So when I need that porch fixed, when you need your rent, I don't say 2, 3, 4, 5 days.
So that's the thing. Why do we even have to rally our citizens to get the mayor and the commissioner
to do it.
And that's the problem. If we have to do that, what company do you know to where the boss have to keep begging an employee to do something and that employee keep their job?
Mm. Yeah, there's that.
Okay.
So what we
have to do is like the same thing like Brayman did when he didn't like the way how they were handling their business. He recalled they behind. And we have the power, we have the bodies to do that. If there are commissioners out there that's not looking after our own interests, the interests of the people in our community,
right.
If there are commissioners out there or mayors out there that's catering to the 1% or catering to the special interests, then we have that option to get their behind up out of there. And we need to start being a little bit more assertive instead of subservient.
Well, you know, when I had headliners on, I asked them that question. How do we, you know, and I hate to say it like that, how do we make it sexy? How do I make, you know, going to the polls or going to, you know, another political forum as hot as going to a night on Live on Sunday? I mean, I you know, and I don't want to say that we have to dumb it down, but we have to meet people where they are. And I think that is the problem. Earlier at the top of the show, I was saying that politics is a lot like jazz and politics. And politics is like jazz and fine wine. You like it. There's certain ones you like and you don't like, but you don't have wide conversations about it because you don't know enough. Red is red. I don't know about no Cabernet or this, that, and the Merlot. Okay.
Jill.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Jill.
I think that becomes a conversation a lot of times.
For the record, Jill.
Yes, sir.
You make voting sexy when you wear that Let My People Vote shirt.
Hey, you know. All
right. And I think that if we had, no, seriously, I think if we had more people.
But that's a great shirt, and I hate to say that, but you know.
But you make it sexy not only because you wear it and it looks good on you, but you make it sexy because you talk about it continuously.
Right. Yeah.
Now, if we had more of our entertainers that we pay money for, that we put money in their pockets by buying their CDs and going to their concerts, if we have more of them, you know, we always talk about promoting homegrown talent.
Yeah.
Well, we need some of our homegrown talent to promote voting.
Who was that was talking about being scared? Was that just somebody was talking about being scared. Well, why are we so scared to get involved in the process?
Mm-hmm.
And when you said that, it made me think about that, because a lot of times people are scared to get into the process because if people know which way they vote, then they may not like me anymore. Or
well,
they may like... Who was that that just got the backlash? Was it Bow Wow who said some foolishness and everybody... They ate him for breakfast.
Well, nobody's saying...
Yeah.
No one is saying that you have to say your political preference. What I'm saying is that you could promote just voting. Just being civically engaged.
Right.
Because here's the deal, right? When Rick Scott first got into office, right, in 2010, he won by 60,000 votes.
Right.
Understand that. That year, over 808,000 registered African Americans didn't even take the time to go to the polls. And over 912,000 registered Latino Americans didn't go. So you had 1.7 million people of color that didn't show up in an election that was decided by 60,000 votes.
Right. Now, I'm going to ask Karen to come to the mic, too, because while in Obama's last election, you were very involved, Chef Irie.
Yeah.
And you all did, and Karen, you did.
Yes, for Obama.
You, Karen Gray is a better concept, is in the building too. So you did a lot of stuff, Chefs for Obama. There was a lot of activity. What do you attribute the fact that we're just not engaged like that? It would seem that because we got in and we saw some level of success from our involvement, that we would want to keep it going. Now we have the opportunity to put the first woman in office. But it's just not happening like that. What are your having been there in the front lines of Obama, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a big disconnect between state and local and national.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the big misconception of what Valencia is talking about, I don't think people are scared. I think people just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they feel left out.
Yeah.
And I think that starting at the level that they're at, I don't need my election to be sexy or equivalent to going to live. I need to be educated. I need to understand. I need to realize that everyone that I know at some point will be in front of a judge. How do you make a decision on which judge you put in power?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who is telling us about these judges and their records?
Right.
I don't know if I can say it, but Ian Richards was the only domestic violence judge in the county, and he got beat. There's no judge that's a real domestic violence advocate,
right?
That's on the bench right now, and I'm an advocate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sit on the board of Safe Space, so that's something that's very important.
Close to your heart, yeah.
Exactly. So we need to take the time to get involved. We can't put somebody at the top of the tree when the foundation for the tree is being ripped out because we don't get out and vote.
Yeah.
And we don't have that understanding. And we need to be educated about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is the hope that we are creating here at Hot Talk.
Let me ask you a question real quick. In terms of responsibility of being educated.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that fall?
Why,
often are always looking for the solution to come to us.
Right.
You know, why is it that we are not going out there educating ourselves about the people that are voting, you know, the issues, you know, why is it that we have to have someone tell it to us?
Well, you know what, and it's true because I have this conversation with almost everybody I know from the Caribbean. and they're not that polite about it.
Every Caribbean person, every island that they're from, they know from top
everything.
To bottom, left to right, about every politician, every issue, and they will debate you under the table till you're blue because they understand what is at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when they go to vote, they vote.
Right.
Okay. They vote,
and they're engaged throughout the entire process.
Right.
I want to comment
on that because although I'm from Jamaica.
Right.
I left Jamaica when I was 9. I grew up in the States.
Right.
And I've had the black experience in the States.
Right.
And we as Caribbean people need to understand there's a great divide. But there's a saying, when you are 18, you're now an adult, and when you know better, you should do better.
Right.
But we still have to understand what the black experience in America has been, and why when we look at our country and we see people that look like us running things and making decisions, it's a different mindset and a different state of empowerment that we feel. We feel we are capable. The flip side of that is when you have a system that systematically breaks you down.
So wait. I don't want to run over that. When you said when you look at your democracy, you feel that you're capable because that is what you've known your lifetime. You've seen people in office
that
in a great
like
part
you.
Of your life. Okay. So those of and so that would may explain a lot because I'm from Detroit. So I never knew of any of this disparate this until I got to the South.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole nother world down here.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, and is it a timing thing? My mother used to always say the civil rights movement stopped in Georgia. They're like, we can't do Florida.
It's not just a timing thing, but, you know, at some point, we as black people, and I tend to not use the word African-American because, you know, united we stand, divided we fall.
Mm-hmm.
When we start putting labels on each other, it's very divisive.
Right.
If all of us were to walk down the street in Germany, they wouldn't go, what a fine African-American woman. They see a black woman.
Right.
They don't know where we come from.
Right.
So we need to get that mindset back and know that as black people, we are very strong. And I think one of the things that we see happening now is we have to learn how to let the albatross around our neck go, because all those policies that have been put in place, Jim Crow laws and everything else that was designed to keep us down,
mm-hmm.
we have enough education, we have enough resources, we have enough people out there telling us we are better than that. We need to let that go, because if we're going to walk around as black people holding on to the bondage that keeps us down, we're never going to get anywhere.
Well, I mean, you know, part of it, we have the luxury of not being in, you know, the existence every day, I think, where you are reminded that albatross is choking the life out of you. That has to, we have to keep that in mind too, because there is a difference there. If my, you know, if I wake up every day and my natural survival is all that I'm dealing with, I can't deal with the, you know, the other colors of my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a unique situation with African Americans. I mean, it's easier said than done,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part, when you don't even realize the challenges that we face as African American in this country, when we don't even realize it ourselves, it's hard to just let it go when you don't even know what you got to let go.
I think we realize it. I think that we're just so used to being beaten down that we don't, we hope. We have to have, know that hope is there, and we have, it's a fight and a struggle for everybody.
But see, that's, you look at the elephant, right? You look at the elephant at a circus. Right, that elephant is held in place by a little old rope around their leg tied to a peg.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that elephant could pull that peg up, but guess what? That elephant was conditioned to believe that they could not move when that piece of rope is around their leg. And so when you talk about the conditioning, it's not something that you can just snap overnight. Your finger and overnight. No, it's a process. You know, you're talking about the civil rights movement stopped in Georgia. No, you know where it started? St. Augustine. Martin Luther King was in St. Augustine handling his business. But when you look at the, even when Valencia was talking about the story about your uncle, that we as African Americans have been beat down and terrorized in the state of Florida. Florida was one of the last states that was lynching people.
Right.
You know, I mean, Florida was a good old South. And so you talking about a system of what they call government sanctioned violence against African American community. Remember the wall that was on 10th Ave
mm-hmm.
that kept us 12th Ave that kept us from mm-hmm. from being on the other side. I mean, it's a deep history. Why you think you can't have a black nightclub in Miami Beach? We've been trying for how many years now?
Think about that.
Well,
you know, I mean,
listen, I was there.
It comes back down to the money.
And then also, I want people to understand too that when we say that if people understand or people don't understand, I think sometimes we talk for our circle and we don't understand the mass. When you look at the mass of black people,
right.
A lot of people don't understand. A lot of people don't care to understand. And a lot of people are just intimidated, right? And, I mean, this is Florida. I mean, we still have to convince people that their vote counts here. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is on top of everything else that we have to worry about. I mean, and this is Florida we're talking about, and Florida's seen their vote not count before.
Right.
Mm. We've seen it not count before. Nobody didn't make this up.
Right.
This happened for real, in real life.
Right.
So we have a lot to, it's a lot of education. And then, two, you're meeting people where they are. And then we have to understand, because we understand it a certain way. Mind you, we work in this realm, right? We take our time to educate ourselves. You have to understand that your neighbor may not understand it, maybe because they're from a different place or a different generation. Or maybe they have other circumstances where...
Right. Well, you know what? And then you have, Valencia, like, I have several friends who are like, I just can't stand politics. I think they're all crooked and nobody's really fighting for us. So they just check out.
Yeah, I was going to jump into that because I was going to agree with what Karen said. It's not necessarily that people are intimidated. They actually made a decision. They're actually smart, right? They made a decision. They look at it. They feel the system is corrupt and rigged.
Right.
And that no matter what other choice they're going to make, that it won't make a difference.
Right.
Right. And so, like, for me, if you want to talk about who's scared, in some ways, I feel like our politicians are more scared than our people are.
Which is why they keep playing with our vote. Yeah.
Yeah, they play with the vote. But, I mean, even our own electeds, they feel like if they do something too much for our people, right, that somehow they're going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If they go too far and give us too many jobs.
But
if
right.
they get too
yeah,
far
they,
and get us the health care we need. If they get us there, get too far and actually demand that our communities get what they need,
right.
that someone's going to be behind their shoulder about to tap them and that their campaign contributions go around, that they're
right.
a competitor will get taken. And a lot of that is true, right? And so we got to get real about that and say, what are we going to do? Because if our politicians are scared,
right.
why would our people want to step up and do anything, right?
And they can't. But it's true because I've said it, like I'm sure other people said it, that, you know, I thought Barack was going to walk in the White House like Shaft and kick the door down and make it happen. And that did not happen.
That's right. And I'm saying at a local level, and we got to take that up and down.
You sound like a prelude to a hashtag, right? some people might get mad at this, right? But when you was talking, what you made me think about is hashtag, I'm with her, but is she with us?
Mm-hmm.
I'm with her, but is she with us?
But is the other
and
one
that question have to that is well, the question have to get answered.
But I mean, we you know in that in but, that but, context. But yeah, I mean, we don't. I don't feel like I have. There's a choice in that race in that.
Clear.
I look.
No choice, not,
he's
yeah,
not
right.
a, not for me. I mean,
he's
right.
my dog in that race.
Right.
Okay. Because
that is my
if
dog.
You,
in that
if
race.
You sit back and you go, is she for us? Yes, she's for us. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't have any choice.
Well, see, here's
because
the thing.
Donald is not for Donald.
Right. See, here's the thing with is she for us? When I said I'm with her, that means okay, yes, we're going out and backing her. Mm-hmm. But the question is she for us? Is she ride or die for us? Is she willing to be bold enough to step out like Guion was just talking about? Don't just be at the fringes of fighting for our people. Go all the way in.
But is there a reason not to vote?
But see, guess what? No, I'm not. Oh. This has nothing to do with voting right now.
No, but
this
we need
what,
to talk about
but,
that because that's what the community
that's what a
is
lot of people
feeling.
Are saying.
But guess what?
A lot of people are saying that.
But what I'm talking about is this, is that if you want people vote, then you have to be willing to go all in too as well. You know, now we know that we... Two for so long, the Democratic Party has relied on them being the lesser of two evils. All right, we're the only race of people that where we already pigeonholed into one political party. It's not done for the Latino. It's not done for the whites. Why is it that only black folks are the only group that they're Democrat? Once you see a black person, you automatically know they're voting Democrat. But you can't say that for a white person. You can't say that for a Latino person. So our vote has been taken for granted, mm-hmm. and something has to change. And
true.
We cannot keep making concessions, all right, say, it'll be better next year, it'll be better next year, it'll be better next year. Next year never come for us. Mm-hmm. We just got through saying if we want something,
right.
we got to go and get it. So guess what? By any means necessary.
And that,
and
doesn't
if that
mean
means
not,
dropping somebody, drop somebody.
And that doesn't mean not voting.
Right.
That means voting with leverage.
Right.
Right.
But
right.
The leverage doesn't start at the top. The leverage starts at the bottom.
Okay.
And
right.
We have got to recognize
right.
that.
You're right. You're
because
right.
we cannot put someone at the top without giving them people that will empower them.
Them
to do,
right. That made one great thing we learned from Obama, that it was like, we all that time we spent, I mean, it was beautiful. We got him in office, but guess what? We didn't surround him with people that would make sure that his policies got passed.
They didn't spend that
and,
money either, though.
Right.
You
got to
understand that.
Well,
but
yeah.
Money, like we said from the very beginning, money drives
right.
politics.
Okay,
if
speaking
you're only
of which.
Spending, if you're only spending a penny on local politics, then guess what?
That's right.
Guess what? We're not able to get our people in because our people can't
right.
even run.
And
well,
and,
Jim, there, and we go back
right,
to right.
Going back to the
going
point.
Right
so,
back
to
one.
For people who are interested in running Miami or running Broward, text run MIA to 90975, and we'll get you involved in this thing to start shifting this around, starting with getting this thing counted on the ballot in Miami-Dade.
Yeah, that's the most important. Campbell in Hollywood. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
How you doing?
How are you?
I just want to make a comment on what the brother was saying about is she for the black people or whatever. We got to learn to be for ourselves. When you got blacks killing blacks, you got blacks doing all type of stuff, then what you expect?
Mm.
They're glad when you go out there and kill one another because they say that's one black person we got to worry about.
Mm.
Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. It's not about for the people. It's about for everybody. But we got to start with ourselves and our own community.
Yeah, no,
working together and building each other, you know, you support each other. And this world is just so crazy. This is the worst election I ever seen in
ever.
My life.
Ever. Yeah.
Ever.
It's just,
and they show you these are signs of times. And then like the lady calling about prayer out of the school. Now you ain't got prayer in the school. You got knives and guns.
Right.
And people doing now, we don't want to recognize prayer. We say, let's have a moment of silence.
Right.
But
right.
it's the same thing as prayer. But you know, one woman got prayer out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
One woman
it's true.
Got a petition signed and got prayer out of the school. Now you got all kind of mess going on. Now something happened. We have a moment of silence because a massacre done happened. Several people done lost their life. They don't want to say pray. They say a moment of silence.
Mm-hmm.
So this. And this thing about blacks being just Democrat and white people being Republican. I know several. Black people are Republicans. I have millionaire friends that are Republicans.
Well, can you get one of them to come on Hot Talk? Because I really want to talk to a black Trump supporter. Anybody know one? Please, I want them to come on Hot Talk.
At 40 under 40 last week.
Well, you need to bring them on Hot Talk. I need to know what is in the Kool-Aid.
And the thing about it is Hillary get elected. Look at Obama. Obama was there 8 years. It's going to take more than one person. The president is not by himself. You got the whole legislative people that's on that make the final
decision. Yeah, but see, the good thing. We're at the end of the show. Thank you so much for calling, babe. We're at the end of the show. But the good thing about right now, this moment in history, is that we have, Hillary is going to march into office with a lot more support than Barack did because Trump has gone back crazy and the Republicans are like, okay, we got to make it. You got Republicans that are now saying, I'm going to vote for Hillary. I got to go with her because I cannot go with him. So that is going to change all the down ballot stuff.
Can I jump in?
Yes, ma'am.
Because I'm always disturbed about this term about black people killing black people. I like how we always focus on that, like white people don't kill white people in America and Latinos don't kill Latinos
right.
in America. I mean, you kill people that you live amongst,
right.
and that's just what it is. It's not a special thing because black people do it and no, we don't do it the most.
Right. Well, it's a way to continue to
right.
demonize us.
Right. I want, like he said, that we should start respecting ourselves. I think we should start respecting ourselves in that conversation too.
Yeah.
And start making it seem like we do something more or less than the next people do.
That we extra in that way too.
Right.
We just extra when it come to y'all messing with us. We extra and all the rest of that. There is a prayer vigil on August the 17th at 2:30. Betty T. Ferguson praying for our children going back to school. So I think that's really good. Vice Mayor Lisa Davis is putting that effort together.
Yes, with Joshua's Heart Foundation.
The whole thing is to set, make sure that our children go back to school with the right frame of mind. Let's pray for them to be successful in school. Let's pray that we have some good testing in school and they change the testing and the children, teach the children to learn. Don't teach the children to pay.
Teach the children to cook.
Yes, I say teach them how to cook.
You know, that's why I brought that up to you earlier.
But like, you know what, Jill? You don't even have to wait to bring your kids to school to teach them how to learn how to cook. If you're a good cook at home, that's where everything starts at the home.
Yeah.
Get them involved. Have them start, help you cut something out, you know, in the kitchen. Have them there, you know, so that they can expand their mind. If you play music, you play an instrument, teach your kid how to play that instrument.
Yeah.
You know, because we are in a society now where everything is about the technology. We are so dumb when it comes to ourselves. We are forsaken to our phones, technology. We're chasing Pokemons and Pikachus.
Oh, you know? Lord. Right.
You know, where do we go from there, you know?
Well, that's a good place to land and end the show. Thank you guys so much, as always, for coming on. Desmond, you've got some Let My People Vote t-shirts. Where can people get them?
They can get them straight from you, Jill.
Boom!
Boom!
Make it happen. All right, listen, thank you so much for joining us each and every Sunday night. We will be back next Sunday. This is the campaign open mic. So again, Jill at hot105fm.com. If you're a candidate, you want to speak to your people, let's do it next week. Gotta go, love you, mean it. I am Jill Tracy. This is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
This is the last take for the night. Understand that's kind of late. And I gotta get home to my son. Cause he's so special to me. I mean, I gotta see him. I need to breathe him. That's my baby. Don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love him more. Let me give you what I got, so... I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed. Woke up refreshed. I'm so blessed. Yeah, yes. Water in my face and everything is in its place. Peace of mind, even my grace. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes, yes. My grandma almost lived to see 92. I'm so blessed. Yes, 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 yes. My son was born healthy and beautiful. I'm so blessed. Yeah, yeah. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. Yeah. My son, father doing his absolute. I'm so blessed, 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 blessed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I know what I know. And I know what I know. Trouble gon' happen, it's just the way it be. Ain't nothing coming easily in this life. Sometimes you gotta work and you gotta grow and it gotta hurt. I'm sure you know, take a look around. Woke up this morning listening to this song, you're so blessed. Yes, yes, gonna rock the show on all day long. You're so blessed, yes. Hands up in the air, waving like we just don't care. We're so blessed, yeah, up in the morning feeling fresh to death. When the sleep stress woke up refreshed. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live. Always local. Always entertaining and educating South Florida.
Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers, are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105. Hot 105, today's R&B and old school, presents the second annual Hot 105 R&B Groove, featuring Frankie Beverly and Annie. Plus Shaheen, El DeBarge, and Tank on Saturday, October 15th at the Bank United Center on the campus of the beautiful University of Miami. Tickets on sale now and selling fast at the Bank United Center box office or on Hot105FM.com. And you know Hot105 has got the most free tickets. Lock it on 105.1 all day to win them, and all winners qualify to win 4 front row tickets with backstage passes to meet the artists and take pictures, $500 to go shopping, and the best part of all, we're taking you up on stage to get serenaded by one of the performing artists.
Wait, what?
Now, that's the grand prize. For more chances to win, download our free Hot 105 app by texting 28367 with the keyword Hot 105 app. The second annual Hot 105 R&B Groove is brought to you by G-Squared Events and your station for today's R&B and old school. Hot 105.
Ollie Frazier, Florida licensed public adjuster. License number P174093.
Guys, listen carefully. Has your wife, girlfriend, mom, or significant other been nagging you about those repairs around the house? Are the repairs and the nagging making you miserable and not looking forward to your day off? Look, what are you paying homeowners insurance for? Most guys don't realize that homeowners insurance doesn't just cover hurricane and fires. It may also cover other repairs, and your insurance premiums won't go up. It could be anything from leak damage, cracked tiles, literally anything she keeps nagging you about. I'm serious. Do what I did. Call Frazier for your free inspection at 305-252-1868. It only takes 15 minutes, and at the end of the day, you'll make her really happy. 305-252-1868. I got the repairs done. I didn't have to pay anything additional for it, and I didn't have to do it myself.
Thank you, honey.
Call Frazier now for your free inspection. 305-252-1868. Trust me, you won't regret it. 305-252-1868.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
If you have a disability or special medical needs and a disaster strikes your community, you need to have a plan in place to ensure your safety. To help with your planning, the Florida Division of Emergency Management, in coordination with local emergency management officials, has launched a statewide special needs registry. Go to flgetaplan.com today to create a plan and sign up at the Florida Special Needs Registry.
Join us for the 6th annual Women of Color Empowerment Conference starting Friday, September 9th at 6:30 p.m. A reception and concert with Mickey Howard, Avery Sunshine, and the Alan Paul Band. On Saturday, September 10th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., a full day of empowerment sessions and dynamic topics for leaders. For tickets and sponsorship information, go to southfloridawomenofcolor.com or call 954-900-3494.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-256-3483 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-256-3483 to take your call right now. Call 877-256-3483. That's 877-256-3483. Again, 877-256-3483.
Hey, what's going on? This is Melanie Fiona, and you're listening to WHQT Coral Gables, Miami's Hot 105.
A Cox Media Group station.
South Florida, this is attorney Al Barzakai. You know me as Attorney Big Al from 1-800-HURT-123. By now you know that only a lawyer can represent you for your injuries, and you don't want to trust just any lawyer. You want a lawyer that will always take your call day or night. I'm not a referral service or a random nobody at a call center. When you call me at 1-800-HURT-123, you get me, Attorney Big Big Out, a licensed Florida attorney. From my main office in Hollywood, I want to help you. Call me now at 1-800-HURT-123. That's 1-800-HURT-123.
Own a business but baffled by digital marketing? CMG Local Solutions can help you take out all the guesswork out of digital marketing. Reach the right customer with a simple online marketing solution that is right for you. Learn more at cmglocalsolutions.com.
There are a lot of things you can share in this world, like a pizza, a book, a cab ride, a toothbrush. Okay, maybe not that last one. But did you know you can also share the sunshine? By tagging your photos with the hashtag LoveFL, you can share some warm sunshine state inspiration with all your friends. Or you can take the sharing a step further and invite them down for a visit to share some great Florida moments with you. Just make sure they bring their own toothbrushes. This message sponsored by Visit Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
I'm with you.